Hi, I'm Janice Campbell, your host for today's expert teleclass. This class is sponsored by the National Association of Independent Writers and Editors, the professional association with a career building difference. You'll find us on the web at naiwe.com. Our guests today are association's editorial expert, Barbara McNichols, and our guest, Andrea Blue. They're here to talk about the power of story in both nonfiction and fiction. You can expect to learn a lot about telling your own story and expressing the emotional why behind your book. So let me tell you, before we begin, a little bit about each one of our guests. Barbara has worked with more than 200 authors to bring their amazing books into the world. She has written a word choice book called Word Trippers. And she's the editorial expert for the National Association of Independent Writers and Editors. You can read more about Barbara at her member site, barbaramcnichol.naiwe.com. And McNichol is McNichol. Andrea is the author of Aha! 100 Flashes of Insight and Inspiration from Your Authentic Voice and Finding Your Authentic Voice. She's created the Your Authentic Voice Intuition and Creativity System, and her coaching clients learn to tell their stories with compassion and conviction from the stage. We are so honored to have both of these speakers, and I know that I'm looking forward to what they have to teach. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting us, Janice.
We're delighted. I am going to let you guys take it from here, and at the end, we'll open it up for audience questions. For now, I'm going to mute myself and any other audience members, but Barbara and Andrea will take it away, and we can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let me start. This is Barbara, and let me tell you what sparked my interest, my thinking on the whole subject of telling your story on the page, and it was when I read the introduction to Gloria Steinem's book, Revolution from Within, A Book of Self-Esteem. In fact, I'd read that book many, many years ago and still remember it. She had spent 3 years researching and interviewing and writing about self-esteem issues, and then she sent out her manuscript for peer review and received some startling feedback. It made her rethink her whole project. As she wrote in her introduction, her peer reviewer had said, "I don't know how to tell you this, Gloria, but I think you have a self-esteem problem. You forgot to put yourself in this book." And it was true. She had to admit that. She wrote about the subject of self-esteem as if she had been walking on a plate of glass above the real world, able to see its various elements, but not able to get close to it, to touch it. Interesting use of language, isn't it? On a plate of glass above the real world. To me, that implies that if you don't put yourself into your stories, you're too much of an observer who doesn't really touch the subject. However, you still want your stories to touch your readers, don't you? So what did Gloria do? She spent the next 3 years rewriting her book, putting in her own experiences and examples, as well as those from people she interviewed. And in the process, she uncovered a wealth of buried emotions. The point I'm making is about her discovering that she had to put her authentic voice at the heart of her writing, because in her words, personal stories are our textbooks, the only way to make our experience central. And I would add to that, that's the way we make ourselves and our ideas universally understood. Stories help us do exactly that. There's value to be gained on many, many levels when a writer evokes personal conflicts and struggles, wrestles with them, and goes on a hero's journey to resolve them, as Dorothy did in The Wizard of Oz. So, based on Gloria Steinem's example, I suggest there are two main reasons for telling your own story, or if you're an editor, for encouraging the authors you work with to tell their own stories. My two reasons are, number one, to ensure what you have to say rings true universally. And that happens when you're able to craft your story from a deeper place in your being, as Gloria learned to do. And number two, you get the opposite of calm. You add peaks and valleys, waves and storms into the writing so the manuscript isn't boring, so people will want to read it, for gosh sakes. Now, Andrea, would you like to add a few more reasons for telling your story and why it's so important?
Sure. First of all, I think one of the things that we forget is that this is what we do. We tell stories all the time. I mean, telling story is just part of our life. It's how we explain things. And often when we can't say it in any other way, we say, oh, wait, well, let me tell you. Let me give you an example. And we go into a story. So it's more important than just sharing information. So there are three real purposes, I think, that stories serve. One is that stories connect us as human beings. They really call up all of our common experiences, the way we work together, live together, you know, whatever. They're things we do together and experience, whether it's something big like dealing with an illness or something exciting and happy like having a baby or something. So they connect us as human beings. They communicate our values. This is what matters to me. You know, they communicate perhaps how we made a difference in somebody's life. I remember as a kid, you know, it was the walking 15 miles in the snow to get to school. So it's like our values get communicated through our stories. And the third thing is that they share a message. They make a point. There's the moral of the story. In fact, often when we tell a story, somebody might be thinking, well, gosh, just get to the point, right? And that might be to provide hope or encouragement, kind of a you can do it thing, not giving up on a goal, whatever that point is. That's what the point of a story is. They help us translate the profound to the mundane. And if you look at all of our spiritual texts, whether it's the Bible or the Torah or the Quran, they are just a succession of stories, because stories is how we translate our experience. Cavett Robert, who is the founder of the National Speakers Association, put the place of stories in this quote. He said, a message from the heart — he's talking about speeches here — a message from the heart, something you really believe in, riding on the wings of humor to make it digestible with stories to remember it by. And I think that a book also has those components in it. So stories help us remember what we want our readers to remember. They help us remember because they're dynamic. They hold our attention. They inspire us. They give us insight. They help us focus our attention, especially because oftentimes our attention is being pulled from everywhere. They speak to the relationships that we have, our common human experiences, and they bring what we could perceive as a complex situation down to its essence. Robert McKee, who is an award-winning writer and director — I mean, he was a screenwriting coach for the students who have written, directed, produced hundreds of hit films like Forrest Gump, Aaron Brockovich, The Color Purple — he made these points about stories. He said, stories fulfill a profound human need to grasp the patterns of living. It's not merely an intellectual exercise, but within a very personal, emotional experience. From the standpoint of business, a story is a big part of how a CEO can motivate people, because people do not get inspired by facts and figures. The key to their hearts is story. He also said a story expresses how and why life changes, and that the creative mind cuts to the truth of self and the humanity of others, so that at the core of great storytelling is that self-knowledge. So those are the things I have to add about stories.
Wow. I like the last one especially, self-knowledge. So great storytelling gets to the heart of self-knowledge. And that was very true in Gloria Steinem's example, too. Now let's go on to identify what stories you might want to tell and how to write your own story using your authentic voice and experiences. As story sparkers, Andrea and I have come up with 6 questions you can ask yourself, and your answers will help you pick out stories or incidences or experiences that will add to the emotional expression of your writing. These 6 idea sparkers, the first one is, ask yourself, why did you write that very book you wrote or the one you're writing now? What are your burning issues? Why did Steinem write about self-esteem? Well, because she needed to examine her own self-esteem issues, even though she didn't realize it at first. Number two, what gives you a sense of satisfaction about the book that you're writing and its subject matter? The sense of satisfaction in Steinem's case was she was probably much more satisfied with her rewritten manuscript after she worked through her own struggles and put them down on paper. Think about, here's number three, what inspires you every single day of your life? Think about that. Andrea does a little daily column called Aha, and she inspires me every day with peace. It's true.
Thank you, Barbara.
A chuckle and a laugh every day.
Yeah,
that's
thank
dedication
you.
To put that out there every day, but it's something new and fresh and sweet. Number four, what do you feel most proud of as you write this book? Now, that would come back to the emotional reasons behind your effort in the first place. And again, it might be hidden, as it was in Steinem's case, until you actually sit down and write them out. Number five, how do you imagine your book making a positive difference in someone else's life? This is a biggie. And this is where your sense of service comes in. It will take you through the hard slugging because there's a purpose out there. You want to make a difference for someone somehow because of your experiences. And number six, what is a treasured moment you carry in your pocket right now that could be turned into a meaningful story? Whew, think about that. You can probably come up with dozens. Now, Andrea, what would you like to add to that?
Well, I think finding the emotional reasons why you wrote your book and putting that into a story, sometimes, especially if your story has taken a time, taken some time to come to, your book, it may not have just happened in one day. You think, oh, I've got this great idea for a book. It could be something that came to you over a period of time. And so it can be hard to find that one signature story that says, this is why I chose to write this book. But sometimes if you can look at some of the experiences in your life that may have led to your eventually writing that book, that can be helpful, at least as a opener to creating that story that you can tell others. So, and it could be anything. Anything that happens to you may have, if you think back, say, oh, yeah, you know, that was a seed. That planted a seed for me that I eventually wanted to write my book. Here are a couple of questions to ask yourself just to get thinking about some stories that may have contributed to that. Have you been badly hurt? Sometimes, you know, those kinds of experiences where we're really significantly hurt can be profound in terms of starting us on a new path, maybe writing a book. Have you ever been scared? And most of us have been scared. I mean, I'm sure all of us have been scared. But have you ever been really scared? And when might that have been? What happened then? Have you ever, I love this, have you ever laughed so hard you fell out of your chair or peed your pants? I'm laughing now.
I can think of a good one on that one.
Have you ever had, I mean, I can think of a couple of times when I really literally could not breathe that I was laughing so hard. How did you learn to swim? Was that a fun experience or was it a traumatic experience? Myself, I would not let anybody touch me. They had to just put on a life jacket and put me in the pool. And I was determined to teach myself. Did you ever play a practical joke, or have you ever had one played on you? Have you ever done something you are proud of? Again, coming back to that. Have you ever been to a dangerous area? Sometimes going to a dangerous part of the world or a dangerous area can create wonderful stories to look back on. Maybe not so much while they're happening, but they also can be the impetus behind a story for your book. Or when were you in a lot of trouble? Or who do you think of when you say, that person just drives me nuts? And why? Okay, all of these can be just little seeds of ideas that may start you on a story that can lead you to knowing essentially why it is that you have put this information down for other people to be able to learn from, share, etc.
I do see a common thread here, and that is self-discovery. You know,
yeah,
you take a
sure.
close look at what makes what somebody else does that drives you crazy. You're learning a lot about yourself in the process. So digging deeper and figuring out why and telling a story about that. Wow, that's a journey in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So what about my own story? I must admit, I'm a bit like Steinem. I bring an editor's objective and observant mindset to writing. I tend to write stories as if I were walking on a plate glass above the real world. However, in my 17 years as a freelance editor, I'm highly motivated by the ethic of serving others, and in my case, helping writers strengthen their voices on the page. Now, among many other characteristics, that involves finding the right word for the right situation and knowing how to use it correctly. Okay, I admit, that's the part that gets me annoyed. Here's your example, what drives you nuts. That gets me annoyed when people blatantly get words mixed up and don't even know they're making mistakes, like they write accept instead of accept, or between when it should be among, all those great grammar rules, all those word trippers, I call them. And tripping over them constantly, I do admit, makes my blood boil. So years ago, I started an e-zine called Word Trippers. And many years and lots of Word Tripper editions since, I now have my own word choice guide in ebook and print form, and pretty soon it will be a Kindle book. Yippee!
Wow, that's great, Barbara.
Yeah,
I didn't know
that.
That's great.
Yeah,
that would be something I'd like to know how you did. for another call, I guess.
Well, I kind of think as a reference book, too, it would be handy to have it on Kindle. I think people would find that extremely helpful,
mm-hmm.
maybe even more so than a written book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, again, I have to admit, my Word Tripper book is more practical than emotional. It is a reference tool. But I'm finding ways to stretch and follow my own advice, because in my Word Trippers of the Week e-zine, I learned to introduce that week's pairings with a story that comes from my life somewhere. And I've learned that that's what it is that draws people in. That's what it is that they comment about most. So it kind of tells me, no matter what you're putting out there in terms of information, couch it and introduce it in a story, and that will give it context. That will give it some identification with the reader that they might not have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Andrea, so now let's assume that our listeners are either in the process of writing their own stories or helping others to do so, as you and I do, and, you know, me with my editing more so, and you with your presentation coaching. What elements should we pay attention to in terms of subject matter, characters, action, etc.?
Well, I think, again, just saying that there's a purpose for a story and there are elements of a story. And the main purpose, as I've mentioned, of any story is to make a point. It's generally not to just kind of go on and on. Maybe, you know, sometimes we are in the presence of people that just kind of talk on and on and on, and they don't really make a point, and you're like going, all right, what's the point already? So the main purpose of a story is to make a point. And so it's, what is that? You know, what do you want me to walk away with? What's the moral of the story, if you will? And if you think about it, every time most of us tell a story, there is some reason that we're telling it. It's also to take us on a journey by going into detail. You want to paint a picture, if you will, using the senses, so that you can really draw me in and have me really place myself in that story, feel it, see it, taste it, everything about that. And then make that connection from personal to universal. In other words, the story needs to be universal in that as a human being, all of us might have experienced this, but also it needs to be personal, not just personal to me, the storyteller, but personal to the individual. So it needs to have both of those elements to it, or both of those characteristics to it, I should say. Now, the elements of the story, there is a way of developing and crafting a story so that it automatically takes you through this process of coming through an emotional arc, if you will, to create the emotion for others. And there's several pieces to that. The very first piece is to set the scene. Tell me, where are we? Where are we? What does it look like? And everything that you want to do with a story is to go into detail about it. Where are we? What? Not just we're in Phoenix, Arizona. But where are we in the place? What does it look like? What's there? What's the geographical location? What are the trees, the flowers? Who, you know, really describe what the scenery looks like so that I can see myself there. Where does it take place? Now, the second part is to describe the characters. In other words, it's you, obviously, you're one of the characters. But then who's with you? And describe them in detail. I want to know what they look like, what their mannerisms are, what kind of clothing they're wearing, what their age is, what their gender is. I mean, give me lots and lots of details. Now, the one thing I will say is, in terms of crafting your story, first of all, go all out, okay, with all of these elements I'm telling you about. Go all out. Really go into great detail. Put more in there than you think you can possibly use, because you can always go back and refine and edit them out. But to start with, you want all of it in there. So then the third element is to describe what happens. Okay, basically tell me, it's as Robert McKee said, it basically a story tells you what happens in life, how life changes. So I just want you to give me the story, what happens, and then the climax of the story. So what is the obstacle? How did you overcome the obstacle? What happened at the end? This whole series of events that happen. Then I want the resolution. How does it resolve? This is kind of the, you know, and they lived happily ever after. Okay, so how did these series of events resolve themselves, and then make the point? And in a speech, sometimes this is your call to action, but in the story, it is you are making the point, and this point is both the thing that is universal and personal. So I'm going to share my own story behind my first book, my AHA book. And I'm going to do it using these elements. And so as I tell this story, see if you can capture, hear all of those elements at play. The other thing I want to say is some stories lend themselves to a lot of drama, some to a lot of comedy. Some you can really make a story out of anything. Truly, you really can, and most of us do. But you can just see where you think that those elements are happening. So for quite a while, I'd wanted to write this, an inspirational gift book, and I don't know why. It was just something I thought about, and maybe it's because I had read some that really made a difference in my life, or perhaps because I'm a writer. I'm not sure why. I started writing in junior high school when I used to sit down by the creek at my parents' cabin. It was this beautiful place that was surrounded by trees and green, and it was this running brook. I mean, the water was so cold you could hardly put your foot in it, and just quiet, peaceful, like only a place out in the middle of the woods where you're sitting there, except for maybe some chirping of whatever the crickets or the bugs were there, and that rustling of leaves. So I used to go down by that creek and just write poetry and stories. But later as an adult, I would come up with personal sayings about life. I'd keep in a word doc things like, here was one of them, offer no resistance to what is, look at your current reality, put a big smile on your face and say, I'm alive! So I captured these little sayings, but I never did anything with them. Then at one point between jobs, I decided to write a book that I called, at the time, How to Fall in Love with Your Life. And this was going to be part book, part journal, and it was going to inspire people to do the work that they love and live the life that they wanted to live. And along the way, I met with a branding consultant who suggested that instead of focusing on being an author, because that's what I was focused on, that I should focus on speaking. He said, because this would give me a platform to sell my book rather than trying to go out there and compete with all the other authors. And he also worked with me to come up with a phrase that described what I was talking about, which was finding your authentic voice. So after a lot of thought and a deep soul searching, I came up with the 7 practices that I'd come to know that helped me find that authentic voice, and I started speaking about them. And that book that I was going to write, How to Fall in Love with Your Life, that kind of went by the wayside. Now, this particular subject matter, finding your authentic voice, that's very near and dear to my heart because it was about my own journey, which is what we're talking about here, finding your own journey, to hear my own authentic voice, that voice of wisdom, creativity, love, and live from it, no matter what the world says. Because just like you, I've had a number of experiences that have tested me to continue to listen to that voice, take risks, and not let all the doubts and the critical thoughts take over. You know, at one point, doing this kind of a teleseminar would have totally been out of the question for me. I would have been too afraid. I'd have thought, some people would have thought, now that she is a total nutcase. But now I don't care. You know, I also wondered, would knowing this help others? Would knowing what I had to share help others? Because I think sometimes it's hard for us to put ourselves in that place of thinking that we have something helpful to say. But you know how things is in this business. We're always doing several things at once. And I was looking for a way to market myself. And I'd seen all the other authors doing these daily inspirational emails. And I thought, I could do that. And it popped into my head to start doing a daily aha, which Barbara had mentioned. Now, my first practice of my finding your authentic voice practices is to get into the present moment because that's where your voice is. And it often shows up as an aha moment. So I wrote the daily aha from this point of view that this was your authentic voice speaking to you. This was also how I could share some of those inspirational sayings I'd been socking away for so long. So I did. And after a while, I had a bunch of these. Okay, so as a speaker, now I needed a book, right? So I thought, it's kind of like a calling card. So my next great idea was to take these daily ahas and put them in a book. So that's what I did. I chose 100 of my daily ahas, and I published my first book, Aha, 100 Flashes of Insight and Inspiration from Your Authentic Voice. I found this very sensitive British graphic designer who lives in Cave Creek, Arizona, and he took my ideas around openness, spirituality, creativity, and love, and he created this amazing, beautiful cover that represents everything that I wanted. I wanted to use the colors of purple and gold because they were joyful colors reflective of our highest self and abundance, and he sent me all sorts of possibilities. My final cover has a beautiful open lotus in purples and blues with the title and subtitle in gold. And he also brought in the production person, a wonderful young woman who took my 100 inspirational sayings and put them into the book, gift book format. He recommended a print-on-demand printer to work with. And then I did all the footwork and in 2007 I had a book. Now, to me, this was pretty miraculous, the way it all came together so easily. And the neat thing, too, is that this brand, this book cover, actually ended up becoming my brand look. And then later on, it's funny how this worked out, later on, I realized that my longtime wish to have a gift book had come true. I wasn't even thinking about that because I was thinking, I'm a speaker, I need a book, you know, here I have this stuff, I'll throw it into the book, and I had no idea that I actually would end up
at play again, right?
Yeah, totally. It did. I just never even occurred to me that. But then there it was. I said, "Oh my gosh, I've got my book." So I sold a number of these, and I get a lot of comments from readers about how they often open the book to that perfect saying that they need to read that day. So that I realized, you know, my question about is this going to make any difference for anybody to read this book, that yes, it did make a difference. And that made me feel very good to know that I was helping people. But I would say perhaps more importantly, it showed me that those longtime dreams can come true. And that by pursuing those dreams, you also help other people because everybody has something to give. And we never know what difference we're going to make. So my suggestion to you is to know that what you have to say can make a huge difference in someone else's life, and to let yourself pursue that dream. Write that book. Tell your story, because it doesn't matter really if it becomes a bestseller or not. That'd be nice. That'd be great. But it doesn't matter. Somebody needs to hear it, and that someone just might be me. So that's my story about how I started the AHA book. And did you get a chance to if you were listening closely, you might have heard how I used those different elements, those seven elements, and then at the end I added a call to action at the end, how I could string those through. And it doesn't have to be something with a great deal of drama or comedy. What it does is it's about drawing people in so that they can get a sense of what your process was and something about it for themselves, so that they can take away that kind of inspiration for themselves, that what they're doing in writing their book or whatever dream it is, or reading your book, has importance. It's meaningful.
And I can testify that Andrea took that same feeling, that same your authentic voice feel, and wrote a second book, which I edited, and it is absolutely full of personal stories that have universal application. Now, Andrea, can you spell out a good way to organize a story that covers the elements that you just mentioned?
Well, yeah. I mean, and again, if you thought about how what I just wrote, so begin the story, set the scene, why you were there, and describe it. So I was telling you, you know, essentially how I started, why I wanted a gift book, how I started writing in junior high out by the creek, how I started coming up with these personal sayings. So that's kind of beginning the story, setting the scene. Then you insert the name of your organization, the name of your book, your mission, your purpose, objective. And that is something that I covered at that point, where I talked about how I started with a different kind of book because I wanted to inspire people to do the kind of work that they wanted to do. And I mentioned not only my AHA book, I mentioned my Finding Your Authentic Voice book, and what my purpose and objective was in developing that AHA book. Then you want to introduce a personal experience to the situation and pose a question, if you will. So I talked a little bit about the subject matter and why it was so important to me, and what was important to me about the experiences that I'd had. And I even asked the question of, I wondered, would knowing this help other people? In asking that question, you're kind of setting me up, or I was setting you up, but you're setting the reader up, or the listener, are the audience up for what your point is, ultimately what your point is. And for me was, I wondered, would knowing this help other people? Okay, so you're asking that question. The fourth point is to continue the story by describing the characters, who they are, why they matter. And so I talked a little bit about that. I talked about the characters in the book basically being me, really. I'm the only character in this book other than the people who are reading it. But I also introduced my designer, I introduced the production person, et cetera, just to give people an idea of everybody who was involved. Then you want to tell me what happens and how someone benefited from this. So I talked about how I had gone through the process of creating the book, how I sold them, the kinds of comments that I'd received from people in terms of how it had helped them. Then I resolved the story, basically saying that why it was important to me. It showed me these long-time dreams can come true. By pursuing them, it also helps other people. This is kind of the resolution. And then the point I wanted to make was, pursue your dreams, write your book. You're going to help people. Someone needs to hear it. So that's going from the point of, we all have gifts to give. We never know how those are going to affect others, to a call to action, which means you do that for yourself. Do that, and you're going to be helping other people. So those are essentially how you can organize your story to take me on an emotional arc and on a on a story arc, if you will, to both make sense and draw me in.
That's excellent. And that was done so smoothly. And it did take us along that arc to the point without us really chunking it up. But it was all in there. That was very artistically done.
Oh, well, thank you. I was, like I was saying, it's kind of tough if you've, if there's not some kind of, you sit down and have a single experience where you walk away with your big aha moment and say, I'm going to go out and write a book now. It can be challenging if it may be something that's come to you over a period of time. And maybe there's several stories that are involved in that. So then the challenge is to take a look at it and pull from that experience or pull from the things that are over time, what were the most important pieces, and find a way to weave those together so that you can have a story to tell someone else.
And you've told us what order works the best, generally speaking. So we can be looking out for that as we're reading other people's stories.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or listening to them.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Now, let's say you've pulled together personal stories and you feel good about them. Now let's think about all the places that you can express yourself emotionally in the work that you do, you meaning our listeners out there. Where do you tell your story? Here's a good place, I think, for opening up this question to participation from our callers. And Janice, please pop in with your ideas too. Let me start by saying the three that come to mind for me, where to tell your story, are in your book's introduction, like Gloria Steinem's example, in the bio that you use for anything you write, like the articles you put out in the world or the blog posts that you put out there, and the About You page on your website. That's a good place to tell your own story in a meaningful
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How about for the spoken word, Andrea?
Well, there are lots of places you can use your story. One would be the introduction, like if you're giving a speech so that the MC can tell something about you. Or if you're giving a mini presentation at a book signing, it's always great to open with a story because you immediately get people engaged. One of the things that I share with folks in terms of speaking is because people often think they need to kind of work their way into a story, I guess that's a way to put it, have lots of things to say before they actually launch into the story, but they really don't. You know, when you craft a story well, you can just start with your story and you immediately grasp your audience. Teleseminars like this one to tell a story to make a point, or publisher presentations. If you are seeking to get a publisher or, you know, some other point that you need to tell, you know, be persuading someone to either publish your book or do something else with your book, and I'm not sure what else that might be, but for some reason that you're needing to persuade someone, use a story. That's the way to, because stories as sales techniques, as sales tools, work the best. And if you take a look at you know, any kind of advertising, you're going to notice that, you know, people do that. People use stories. Hallmark cards is the best. They do great stories. They draw you right in there. So use your story to help persuade others that your book or what it is, whatever it is that you're wanting to persuade someone around is valuable.
This is Janice.
So Janice, could we please open this up to the group and brainstorm about even more places you might want to tell your story?
Yes, I have unmuted the group. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. One thing I did want to say about stories, starting a presentation, starting a book with a story, anything like that, for a speaker who's nervous, for a writer who's inexperienced, it's a lot easier to get a story right than it is to get a joke right.
Mm-hmm.
And the old advice used to be open with something funny. And that's kind of hard to do if you don't know your audience well enough. And so sometimes a story can grab them in a completely different way, and it is a much more doable entry into a presentation or any kind of writing. So any of our other audience members may want to contribute as well.
Well, while we have the phone open, I would just like to say too that humor is a very high skill. Doing humor well, those stand-up comedians, people who are good, are really, really good, because that's probably the hardest thing to do. And so stories, and rather than starting out with a joke, oftentimes when you tell a story and you craft it, but you just let yourself be part of it, stories themselves can be really funny, just the nature of the story itself, without trying to be funny. And so you can really accomplish both things with a story to open up your presentation or your speech, especially if it has some kind of a funny part to it, and how you deliver it as well. There's a lot of humor, assuming it's not a tragic story, but there's a lot of humor in stories if you know how to draw it out of the story and how to deliver it. Just using your own natural gifts to share something we do all the time with our friends, but for some reason when people get up in front of an audience, it all seems to go away. So, absolutely, humor as part of a story is a very effective way of opening up.
And good coaching can get you there. If you are, like me, pretty focused on the written word, but need to get out and about once in a while and give presentations, having a speech coach can be just a miraculous opening to do what you want to do so much better. So let me plant that idea in your brains too.
Oh, and have a lot more fun.
Well, yeah.
Have a lot more fun. I had a client not too long ago, and I've been working with her, and probably in talking to her about having the impact that she wants to have, she does a lot of high-level speaking. She, you know, probably every other sentence was, and have fun. Because it's not so much fun when you're terrified.
So do we have any comments? Anyone out there? I understand that maybe the audience may be a little introverted, or maybe you're just listening to this on a tape later on. So let's keep moving on. Andre and I would like to wrap this up by sharing a handful of techniques for improving your writing and improving your speaking skills as you tell your stories on the page and on the stage. So here are my top 5 techniques for improving your writing. And I've actually created something I call my top 10 techniques, and you can download that as an article from my website, barbaramcnichol.com, and I'll also put it on the NAWI website too. And when you get the free download, you also are signing up for my e-zine, Add Power to Your Pen. So here we go with my top 5 techniques. Number 1. As best you can, use active verbs rather than passive verbs in your writing. Look for all the to-be verbs in your prose and change them, as many of them as you possibly can. They're stagnant words. You want active words that move your sentences along. Number 2, weed out the weak words like much, very, really, some, such. Most of the time, they simply aren't needed. Just look for them and question if they need to be there at all. Number 3, get agreements. If in the sentence the subject is singular, then the verb must be singular according to the rules of grammar. Here's an example. The group of writers go into the city. Group is the singular subject, so the verb should be plural. Whoops, so the verb should be singular too, but it's not in that example. The correct way to say it is the group of writers goes into the city. The group goes into the city. So watch out for those agreements. Let me tell you, I am changing those all the time. Crazy. Number 4, nix mixed metaphors, also known as dangling participles. Here's an example. Driving down the road, the football stadium was in sight. Now think about that. Was the stadium doing the driving? I don't think so. But easy to get trapped on that one. And, of course, use the right word at the right time and use it correctly so your readers don't get tripped up. Andrea, how about your top five?
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Yes, here are my top five. And if you'd like more information on how to craft and deliver a story, you can go on to my website at andreabellew.com and sign up for my Create, Inspire, Serve newsletter if you like. So my first point is to be honest in your story. It's sometimes a real challenge for us to truly share our emotions in this culture. I think that all of us would agree that, especially in business, we think everything has to be rational. But the fact of the matter is that that isn't true. You know, we are feeling beings after all, and I know that it took me many years to be able to stand up in front of people and be honest with how I felt and let those emotions show. Now, I'm not talking about doing therapy from the platform, okay? And a lot of times when I coach people, their greatest fear is that they're going to do something inappropriate. And so they just don't want to do anything at all. But the fact of the matter, that is not necessary. We can find a way to tell our stories and to have emotion, the appropriate, honest emotion in them, without losing control or doing something that is uncomfortable and inappropriate. It's really all about being real, about being authentic, to own the story, to communicate the truth in that story to others, to find it, first of all, and then communicate it. So being honest, that's the most important thing about storytelling, because we can all tell the difference when someone is being honest and when they aren't. The second point is to show and tell. Don't just tell. It's about delivering a story is about you using your body. When you think about it and you think about good actors, they show you what's going on. They don't just tell you. You see it in their faces. You see it in their body language. They use their bodies to tell you the story. Oftentimes, what they do is they create a backstory. Because as people in our lives, we don't sit there and script out the story we're going to tell our friends. We tell it, but behind that story is all of our experience, everything that we have lived up to that story, and that brings that story to life. So to be believable in telling your story, you need to bring that story to life by not just telling it, but almost what I like to say is reliving it, so that you go to that time when you were in that situation and you allow yourself to relive that, okay? So you use the facial expressions, the gestures, the movement, all this when you are reliving that story are going to be natural and truthful for you, because you're going to be in that moment, not just thinking about it or telling it, okay? Number three is make every moment purposeful. So there aren't any empty moments. And to do this, you become present in the story, to the story. It's like this, even though you're in front of an audience or you're sharing it with someone, you are essentially in that place when that story took place, so that you're reliving it from that. So what you're doing is purposeful. It's not empty. It's not like you're stepping into the story and then leaving the story. You're in that story. The fourth point is that a story has a rhythm. It's like music. It has natural beats, natural breaks. So it's important when you're crafting the story to break that story into those parts based on those natural breaks that happen. This could be based on a change in the direction of the story, the scene, the tone, the emotion. And it's important to look at your story and determine where those breaks are and how to change your action. And I think, Barbara, with writing, this often happens when we add all those conjunctions.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just stopping a sentence and then starting a new one, and we do this particularly in speaking, we add, instead of stopping and allowing a pause to happen where that natural break is, we often use a and, so, but, and you can hear this if you start listening to people who are not professional, are not trained as speakers or trained as storytellers. You will hear them go, so this happened, and then this happened, and then I did this, so I did this, and then I did this. And it's like one long, strung-out sentence, instead of taking a look at where you want those pauses to be and to craft those specifically to make a point or to deliver the kind of emotion or feeling that you want to generate.
And
then
rhythm helps do that.
Pardon me?
And rhythm helps do that.
Right. It's you get into a rhythm. Again, it's like when I was talking about comedians, stand-up comedians, they often talk about the, and I'm trying to think about the phrase that they use, the timing. It's the timing of a joke, or a timing of a story. You learn how to be with a story based on its natural rhythm and its natural timing so that you generate the kind of response that you're looking for. And then at the same time, I mean, it sounds like a paradox, really, because I'm talking about make every moment purposeful and the story has a rhythm, et cetera, et cetera. Telling a story is like a conversation. It's just a one-way conversation. So one of the things that I suggest to my clients is to think that you're telling this to a friend, not a big room full of people. You're having a conversation with someone. Be yourself, and it also helps you to get into the spoken word rather than the written word. Because a lot of times we write our speeches out or our stories out. We write our stories out, but though it's written, okay, and then you need to translate that into the spoken word. So one way to say it is, again, Cavett-Roberts said this, it's being yourself on purpose. Okay, it's giving voice to your authentic thoughts and feelings and doing it in a way that is you. So you're telling a conversation like you're saying it to a friend, but at the same time you've crafted it in such a way that it's going to make the points that you want to make and deliver the phrases that you want to say, because sometimes those stories have those specific phrases and that specific language. So those are my 5 points. And I know when I started to really do this work of what I call performance coaching, when I started to help people who speak with their stories for whatever reason that they're telling them, and I started to speak about it myself, I felt like there was something else that I could do with this than just talk about the spoken word. And Barbara and I had done some work together. I had coached her in one of her presentations, and the thought just kind of came up in my mind. I had one of those aha moments. Oh, wouldn't this be great to invite Barbara to do a workshop with me? Because I saw a lot of need for this kind of work, particularly with the groups that I was working with, where not only knowing how to take a story and deliver it in the spoken word, but also how to deliver it on the written in the written word, whether it was websites or one sheets or bios or whatever that happened to be, I saw a lot of value in this for organizations and for individuals to be able to do that. So I called Barbara up and I asked her, it really kind of, I'm sure it was a total surprise to her, because I just said, hey, do you want to do a story? Do you want to do a workshop together? Just, you know, I mean, we really didn't know one another all that well. We knew each other through NSA and through the coaching experience, but it just occurred to me that that would be a really great idea if we could combine our abilities and different skills and talents to for the benefit of other people. And she said yes.
Well, and let me explain why I said yes. It's partly because I believe that to learn better what you want to know better, you go out there and you teach it. And for me also, it was a great opportunity to communicate in a different way off my computer and collaborate at the same time with a wonderful coach. And together, we've just found a new way to serve people and give them the experience of knowing how to tell their stories from the page as well as from the stage, giving it that kind of 1-2 combo. So we're putting it out there and looking for people interested in doing a workshop with us. Now, I've got an opportunity to open it up again for questions. Do you think we have some questions out there, Janice?
I don't know. We can certainly ask. Is there anyone on the line who'd like to ask a question? We'll give you a couple minutes to think it up, and if you do, please state your name and ask your question. I'm seeing a lot of little blinking telephone symbols, so I know there are people on the line, but I think you must have answered a great many of the questions.
I'm about ready to do the Jeopardy song. Doon, 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 doon. Don't be shy if you have a question.
Well, you know, something that I thought of as you all were talking and as you're talking about the workshop that you're planning to do, writers and editors, we live by story, even if we're not writing fiction. And we need to be able, if we're building a career, we need to be able, each of us, to tell that story in a way that is compelling and engaging. And we need to connect quickly at networking events. We need to be able to present when necessary. And we even need to be able to ask questions at workshops when necessary. But, I mean, what you're offering, it's a great plan to blend the spoken and written elements of it together, because those two do walk hand in hand. I think so many times those of us who are adept in the written word are tempted to just stay there, to stay in that comfort zone, to develop, you know, our written skills on, but never go into developing the spoken skills. And the two walk together so well. And in my own writing career, what I found is I do sell lots of books, but when I go and speak somewhere, I sell so many more books, because people have learned through the speaking to know, like, and trust me, or to desire the information that I can share. And speaking is a wonderfully powerful thing. Writing is a tremendously powerful thing as well. They go together. And so the workshop you all are going to do sounds absolutely wonderful. So maybe you'd like to give us some more information on that, or just let us know again, you know, your websites and where to find each of you. And Andrea, perhaps you'd like to spell your last name so when they go to hunt for you on the web, they'll get it correct.
Sure, you bet. My name is spelled A-N-D-R-E-A, and the last name is Ballou. It's B as in boy, E-A-U-L-I-E-U. So it's AndreaBallou.com.
And Barbara, I think you're pretty straightforward, but you can spell yours too. I think that's probably not a bad idea.
It's BarbaraMcNichol.com, BarbaraMcNichol. And I also have a blog, nonfictionbookeditor.com, and there's good information about this workshop on that site as well as on Andrea's site.
Excellent. And I hope you'll go ahead and post that on your blog at,
yes,
you know, BarbaraMcNichol.naiwe.com, because that will go into the new member blog post feed, and, you know, all of our members and anyone who happens to visit the site will be able to see the information as well. So that's a really high-profile place to put it.
Excellent. I will do that.
Okay, wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our guests before we get ready to sign off?
Well, each of us would like to just leave a single point with our listeners.
Okay.
This one actually comes from Sam Horn, who is one of my mentors and an amazingly gifted book coach. She says people really don't want information. They want epiphanies. They want aha moments. There's a theme here. But how do you communicate your information and turn it into epiphanies? Well, as Steinem's example showed us, we tell personal stories. They are our textbooks. They teach and help others. And I just love helping people put their stories on the page. That's what I do. So that's my food for thought.
Well, and Barbara, you do it so well. Barbara was my editor for my second book, and it was just a great joy to work with her. And she's so supportive and so positive and so helpful. So I really appreciate her. So, yeah, I guess the thing that I love to do, I don't guess it, I know the thing I love to do is to help people find that authentic voice, that their truth, and put it out in the world, by learning how to communicate why they do what they do and how it benefits other people. And that's a huge part of it. And I absolutely love to help people and organizations get clear about that and learn how to express it. It's very exciting for me. And it would give me great joy to support anybody on this call if they have an interest in that. But my question is to them this. Are you willing to shine? I mean, I think that's a really big question. You really have to ask yourself, am I willing to be amazing? Am I willing to inspire other people with my story and to bring all of those gifts, that naturalness, that true spirit into what I do? Because if you are, that you will make a huge difference in other people's lives. And there's really nothing better than that. But I think it does take a commitment to that self-discovery and that self-awareness to find out what that is and be willing to put that out there for other people to experience and appreciate and learn from, because it really is, I think, why we're here. So just ask yourself that question if you are willing to be amazing. And if you are, make that commitment. That's it.
Wonderful points, both of you. I love the idea about epiphanies, and I love the idea about being amazing. And so many of the ones in our audience are those introverted writers and editors. Not all of us are introverted, but it is a natural tendency. And it does take effort and commitment to be willing to be inspirational, to be amazing, to shine in front of others, because it's not our natural bent. But perhaps you have something that needs to be shared, and an epiphany that perhaps ought to be out there so that others can learn from it. And make that commitment. And I hope you will look up the websites for both BarbaraMcNichol.com and AndraBlue.com. And I am glad you joined us today for this expert teleclass. I know that I was inspired by all that they taught us, and I definitely would like to hear the teleclass again. So I'm going to be posting it in the member area of the association website. So if you're a member of the National Association of Independent Writers and Editors, you can listen to it as many times as you like. If you're not yet a member, you can learn more and join us at naiwe.com. We're the professional association with a career-building difference. So I hope you'll join us next month for another great teleclass. We are scheduled to talk about productivity in advance of the new year. And productivity is huge. And if you can get your schedule under control, a little bit of your personal time management techniques tweaked just to fine-tune them, you will be amazed at what you can accomplish. So this is your host, Janice Campbell, and our guest experts, Barbara McNichol and Andrea Blue, wishing you a good day. Thank you for being here. And goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.